Every year when I think about graduation, I think of what can I say up here that Paul hasn't spoken about over the entire year? What can I say up here that hasn't been beaten into the heads of the youth downstairs in the youth room? Do I just recycle one of my youth lessons? What do I say to the graduates that's meaningful and that's not just geared toward them, but everybody else here as well? So I've been doing my due diligence and taking notes as Paul's been preaching and working on my notes while I've been back there for my sermon going, what does God want me to say? What are the words that need to be said? So the only word I came up with and the only word God kept on giving me over and over and over again is focus. Julie knows these statistics as well, but 25% of freshmen going into college say they have a Christian background. 25% of those freshmen graduate college saying they have a Christian background. So 25% of the 25% that go. Where do we lose focus? What happens in that gap? Why do we lose so many to the world? Unfortunately, we can say things like music, Hollywood, the lifestyle of college gets to them and pulls them away from what they know to be true. But did we do our jobs as the church when we sent them there? You know, Julie said that she was prepared, and she sends these graduates out being prepared. Are we sending our graduates out prepared? I hope so. I'm the youth pastor. It was my job. But when I see that statistic, when I look at that, are we losing? As a church, we have a focus. What is our focus? Our focus is to reach the unbelievers. Our focus is to build ourselves up in Christ and to follow him and to be his likeness. And when everybody sees us, we are to reflect who he is. And for the most part, I think we're doing that. Our church has grown. You know, everybody talks about COVID and the numbers that we lost, and we didn't really lose that many. Our church is filled. It's wonderful. It's great seeing everybody coming back and seeing everybody reaching out to those around them. The stories of giving testimonies, of talking to your neighbors, it's uplifting to see that. To see people pushed out of their comfort zone on mission trips. To hear testimonies about scary things that happened in our lives, but finding God through the struggles. But we're sending kids to colleges that don't always have the same focus their local church does. And their family did. We have two of our kids going straight to college, one to IWU, one to Ivy Tech, and one of them went straight into the workforce. What type of focus are they going to have when they go into those situations? Romans chapter 1, 21, starts with 21, says, "For although they knew God, they neither glorified him as God nor gave thanks to him, but their thinking became futile and their foolish hearts were darkened. Although they claimed to be wise, they became fools. They exchanged the glory of the immortal God for images made to look like the mortal human beings and birds and animals and reptiles. They exchanged the truth about God for a lie. They worshiped and served created things rather than the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. They took their eyes off of the Creator for the creation." We get busy. Those going to college are going to get really busy. You go into the workforce, you get even busier. You have to work. You have to gain money. You have to pay your bills. You have to still be in contact with friends and family You feel overwhelmed, but where do you draw the line of where your eyes are at? Are you doing it for a reason? Is it just to pay your bills, or is it to praise God? Are you working so hard on your grades because you're doing it because you know God has called you into this life, or are you doing it because it makes you feel better to be recognized because you have placed yourself on a pedestal? When you begin to worship the things that we create in our own minds, whether it's our egos, whether you're worshiping the things that God created, such as the spiritual, whatever the world wants to tell you is right, you take your eyes off of God, the one who created those things, the one who is all-powerful, the one who is all-knowing. And we have a problem with that. A generation growing up thinking, I know best. Thinking, I can just Google it, and Google will give me all the answers. Google helps. But Google doesn't always give you the right answers. We got to be careful where we put our eyes. We got to be careful how we guard our heart. I love doing things, but I love God even more. And through my love of God, I do the things I love. I tell the teens, God is number one in my life. There is no number two. You know how you do your, you know, 1A, 1B, 1C? That's, I love God, and then I love my family through God. Because trust me, Michael would not have survived the last 8 years if I did not love God. You guys know him? You trust me. If I don't put that out there, though, you know, we laugh, we joke, we all know that. We all have kids. Most of us in here have kids, and we understand. If without that love of God, why would you love your kids that much? Why would you put up with them being their mouthy preteen years? But it's that love of God, that eyes on the Creator and not the creation. I love my job here at the church. I love being able to hang out with the teens, being able to do things and get paid for it, like play video games, play board games, go to amusement parks. You know, I get to do that and I get paid. But I do it for a reason. God called me to this. Just like God called my wife into nursing and listening to her stories and talking with parents. Talking with her patients. Listening to those going, I couldn't do that. But Jessica can. God put her in that situation and she flourishes with her interactions with the patients. We have teachers in here. I love teaching, but I only get them for 2 hours a week, having to teach them. You guys get them for 6-8 hours a day, 5 days a week. But you guys are called to that. You do an excellent job at it. We all have that. When we worship the Creator, the one who gave us those talents, gave us those abilities, and we use it for His glory and not our own. Then we have to be careful, because then we end up focusing on the obstacles in our way and not the destination. We have our eyes on the Creator, but then we see the mountain in between us and the Creator. We have our eyes on the Creator, but then there's that giant valley, that chasm that we just can't get around. What do? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Well, it's real easy to say when you're not going through the valley or when you're not standing in front of the mountain. I've said it before to the teens. I say it all the time to the teens. Without God, you have no reason to climb the mountain and to go through the valley. Bad things are going to happen to us as Christians. We can look at the world around us and we see we are under attack, even here in America, when we have freedom of religion, when we are founded on Judeo-Christian principles, we are being attacked. We are heartless, we are bigoted, we are hypocritical, we are fill in the blank, and that's being spewed at us everywhere we turn, outside of these four walls. But we serve a God who's bigger than the mountaintops, who sees us through the valleys. He doesn't say you're not going to struggle. What he says is, I'm going to be with you through the struggle. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 2 says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. When you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze. That's uplifting. That's awesome. Powerful words, but words you hope you never have to use, because you don't want to look at God and say, put me ablaze because I trust you. Let me struggle some more so I can learn it. Nobody wants to do that. Nobody wants to go through the struggles. But we serve a God who won't abandon us in the struggles. We serve a God who set up my life so perfectly well that when I fell apart, he was there. He set it up to where I had connections with people that I didn't dream I'd ever have to use in a way that they were used. Because God knew if I was going to struggle, I needed them in my life. And they were there. Whether it's a medical problem that you think you might have cancer and then you don't know what you're going to do, so you have God. When you open up your household to somebody and they end up doing things that you couldn't imagine kids doing, and then you're honest with the people in charge saying, you're lucky I serve a God who can forgive them, because right now I don't know if I can. I don't know if I can say the words, I forgive you, but I know God can forgive him. And I know I don't hold anything against him. But I need to forgive him. We all have those obstacles. We all have those stumbling blocks. We all have those things in our way from our focus being truly on God. No matter what it is. Life troubles, addictions, anything. So as these teenagers become adults, as the adults get more mature, where is your focus? Where are you leading? Are you focused on your obstacles in your way, or are you focused on the destination? Paul says, I have finished the race. I have ran the best I could, and he is with me. Our destination is not salvation. Our destination is our life forever in him. I would say life forever in heaven, but God could come back before we get to heaven. Our destination is a life with him. Are we ready for that? Do we focus on that every single day of, I'm going to be with Him? I don't have to worry about the obstacles. I don't worry about the mountains, the valleys, the giants, the little stumbling blocks. Two points to my message today. Simple. I didn't do 9, I didn't do 12, I didn't do 5. Just focus. Bow your heads as we pray today. Dear God, dear Lord Jesus, thank you for allowing us to gather in here today. Lord God, I thank you for the graduates. I thank you for those kids who have grown up in the church, who have gone to the youth all-nighters, who have gone to Wednesday nights, helped out with VBS, who help out with Kids Club. Lord God, these kids have grown up knowing who you are, Lord God, but I pray they don't lose focus. They are going from being a teenager to being an adult, Lord God, and those come with struggles. They are going to go through hard times. They are going to go through trials and tribulations, Lord God, but I pray that they don't lose focus on you, the one who loves them, who cherishes them, who holds them. Lord God, I pray for the church that we don't lose focus on you as well. When we send these teens outside into the, quote, real world, Lord God, that we don't forget to pray for them. Yes, they're out of high school now, Lord God, but they are still part of this body. And I pray, Lord God, that we continue to remember them in our prayers. I pray, Lord God, for the rest of the church. I pray that we don't lose focus in our own lives. Whether it's our careers, whether it's our family drama, Lord God, whether it's stuff we hide in our heart hoping nobody else can see it. I pray, Lord God, we don't lose focus on you and what you can do in our lives. Clean us, cleanse us. Don't let those obstacles, those stumbling blocks get in our way. I praise you and I honor you, Lord God. Amen.